This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am here in the studio, and it is actually Carol J. Perry weather. Every time she comes into the studio, she must be thinking about me today, because she sent me this gloomy, gloomy weather that we don't normally have here in Florida. And I am waiting for my guest. Hi, Big Ed. How are you doing?
Trying to stay warm today.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it's terrible. For us, it's, you know, people, I've been talking to a lot of the writers up in Maine, for some reason, have been contacting me, hoping that I have good weather. But because they've really been suffering. But you know, when you're a writer, it doesn't matter. You're in the house, and you can be just snuggled up by your computer, sort of like sitting in front of the fireplace, and write away, and just keep writing all day long, and you forget everything. All you need is a good cup of coffee. And so, you know, I don't feel sorry for writers. I feel sorry for all the people who have to go out there and work and stand in the streets. I was looking at some of those crossing guards, you know, standing there waiting for the kids to go across the street today. And I thought, oh, these poor people, they're not used to this. Now, I'm waiting for my caller. Is he on? He's not on, is he, Big Ed? Okay, well, you know, it happens. I don't understand what happens to people. Sometimes they fall asleep. And anyway, he is supposed to be on, and he is the author of a wonderful book. It's Mark Strauss, and it's called One-Legged Mongoose, and I really, really love this book. So I don't know why he's not calling in, but who knows? Maybe there's another snowstorm up north. Anyway, he's going to be, I hope, calling in, and it is a great book. It's, you know, sometimes I've been really lucky to get these wonderful books, and I had just recently, it was so great to be able to talk to Rick Bava about his book. And he is just a wonderful person who has written a story about really sort of the boomer generation. And this book that I'm supposed to be talking to the author today is called One Legged Mongoose, and it is about the 1950s. And I find that this era so fascinating. And what I love always is just to go back and look at all the details and read about what was happening. So, you know, I'm just hoping that he's going to call in. I think we'll do Big Ed. Why don't we have a literary gem from Jim Lamb. Let's play that, and I'll try on my phone and see if I can find out what in the world happened to my guest today.
Here's the headline. Hyperboles are the best, greatest, most wonderful, super-duper way to get a reader's attention. Short version, extravagant exaggeration stretches the truth to the breaking point, sometimes beyond. That's hyperbole, all right. Use it with deliberate purpose and obvious intent for emphasis, dramatic effect, or humor. I'm Jim Lamb. Let's get started. Years ago, when my son was young, he asked, "Dad, what does the word hyperbole mean?" I stopped what I was doing, turned to him and yelled, "If I've told you once, I've told you a million times, don't bother me when I'm writing." He looked at me stunned, jaw dropped, eyes wide open. Then I smiled and said, "That, my boy, is hyperbole." Here's an example from the opening of Babe the Blue Ox. One winter, it was so cold that all the geese flew backward and all the fish moved south. And even the snow turned blue. Late at night, it got so frigid that all spoken words froze solid before they could be heard. People had to wait until sunup to find out what folks were talking about the night before. I love that, especially the part about the fish moving south. Why? Because I live in Florida and I like to fish. Hey, fish, come on down. Shakespeare knew how to use hyperbole better than most. Here's a sample from Macbeth. "All great Neptune's ocean washed his blood clean from my hand." Wow, that's a lot of blood. A ton, a bunch, oodles, and even more water. Splish, splash. How about you? Have you heard these hyperboles? I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. I have a ton of homework. My sister has a million pair of shoes. I'm starving to death. He's older than dirt. She's got gobs of money. His brain is the size of a peanut. Her eyes are wide as saucers. You missed it by a mile. I can't do anything right. He's as dumb as a bag of rocks. She looks like $1 million. It's been ages since I've seen you. I can smell pizza a mile away. My dad knows everything about cars. She has a heart of gold. My mom's gonna kill me. These phrases grab attention, create an amusing effect, make a point. That's what hyperboles do. No surprise, then, that they show up in advertising. When I was a kid, there was a brand of gasoline to put a tiger in your tank. There was another tiger that pitched Frosted Flakes by saying, "They're great." Want more? Of course you do. On TV, there's a fluffy pink bunny that sells a battery brand that keeps going and going and going. An insurance company whose service is so easy a caveman can do it. A theme park that's the happiest place on earth. An energy drink that gives you wings. Excuse me. Hello. Hello, Southwest. Cancel my flight. I'm going to fly to Orlando myself and get happy. Speaking of getting happy, we've got to wrap this up. Why? Because I have a million things to do. A bottomless pit of things. So many, they could choke a horse. I'm Jim Lamb, and you've just learned a little something-something about hyperboles.
Oh, I love that one of that Jim prepared for hyperbole. It, you know, every time I hear it, I keep wondering, you know, how many people have a kid who asks them, what's the hyperbole? So I thought, whoa, he was very lucky to have such a bright son. And I'm sure that, of course, his son was around a father who's a great journalist. And so I was always, I just get a kick out of that one. But one of the reasons that we do these literary gems is for all of you people who are out there who are really, so many of you are, as I say at the beginning of the program, dreaming of writing, and you haven't started writing yet, or some of you have started, and many did during November, during NaNoWriMo, you've taken the challenge and you've started writing, and it is really important. You know, when you write, just write. Don't care about anything. Don't get bogged down. You don't have to do any research. You don't have to buy yourself a book, how to write. You don't have to do any of that. The key to success is to just get it down on paper. But then after you have it down on paper, and that's what happens when you take on a challenge like National Novel Writing Month, you write 50,000 words in 1 month. And then at the end of it, you have something to work with. You have the foundation of what could turn into a fantastic, absolutely wonderful novel. And you never know where it is going to lead you. But you have to start by writing. But then, you know, if you do get a chance and you do have time, you should start learning about words and understanding what you're writing and why you're writing. And so that's one of the things that we're doing here at Joy on Paper with Jim Lamb and his wonderful literary gems, because we want you to be able to learn how to write more. Big Ed got a telephone call, but it wasn't one. So I'm watching Big Ed. I love watching Ed. People ask me, what's it like to be in the studio? And it's just so much fun. Here I am sitting in front of the microphone, which I love. I mean, I could sit here all day, actually, and talk. I just love it. It's just so much fun. And I get to look at Big Ed in the control room through the glass window. And there he is, mostly always smiling. Right, Big Ed? Yeah, he's nodding his head and always busy. So it's just wonderful. As you know, I was mentioning, of course, Rick Bava, and I wanted to say two things. First, about his book, In Search of the Baby Boomer Generation. It's available online. And again, because it all relates very much to the book that I was supposed to be talking about today, looking back in time and looking back and preserving the memories of our of our lives. This is so wonderful when you can preserve the memory and keep these stories alive in your family and for generations to come, because it is, you know, things are sort of fleeting, but 100 years from now, you'll have great-great-grandchildren, and they'll go back and they'll say, oh, well, you know, and I'm sure Amazon will still exist if it hasn't taken over the world, and there is your book. So if you are thinking about writing, you know, get inspired by somebody like, you know, like Rick Bava, and he has also, you can go to his website and you can find out more about him and his Senior Living magazine. And I was very lucky that recently I also interviewed, just last week, somebody whose book I love. Again, this is by Gramps Jeffrey, and it's a book called I Don't Want to Turn 3. Now, Gramps took, there he is in the pandemic. He's got his grandchildren, and he's lucky that he was able to see them and interact with them. And he realizes, boy, I could write a story about them. And he did. He wrote, well, he's written the first one. I think he's got six grandchildren, so he's probably got six more. And probably they all have something that they don't want to do. So he's going to be able to write dozens of books. I predict he'll write dozens of books. But this first one is called I Don't Want to Turn 3. And it is a delightful book. It's, you know, this is something that you can all... When I was talking recently to Ken Lindner, he has written a book called Aspire. And it is the whole point of life is to aspire, to do something, to create something, to make something of yourself, to make something for your family, to make the world a better place. And one of the ways you can do it is by writing. So I really want to recommend Gramps Jeffrey. You can go to his website. It's easy enough to remember, because if you type in Gramps, you're going to get it. And it's the first book is I Don't Want to Turn 3. But the wonderful thing about Gramps is he's thought it through. He's understood the need for grandparents to keep in contact with their grandchildren. And we talked about during the interview, we talked about something that he is really, it's very clever, and I hope that he's listening today, and I want him to write a book, actually, advice to grandparents on how to stay in contact, because all he did, something so simple, he has dinosaurs in his house, you know, that the kids play with when they're there, but every night he arranges them and puts them in different places in the house, and the grandkids call and they want to know where are the dinosaurs that night? What are they doing? Something as simple as that has kept him in contact with his grandchildren and made their life better, has enriched their life, because they're thinking both about their grandparents, they're thinking about their dinosaurs, they're thinking about what's happening in the world of dinosaurs. And so I thought it was such a delightful idea. I hope that all of you will, in a day or two, I will have, I had a little technical problem with my website, because WordPress is switching over to blocks. That's all I have to learn, blocks. And it has been a big mess. I've had a lot of changes to make on the website. And you have to remember, I'm coming up to the 7th anniversary of Joy on Paper. In that time, I've spoken to almost 700 authors. Wow, it is a lot. It sort of boggles my mind from the day I started to now to have spoken to so many wonderful authors over this time. And of course, to just try to keep up with putting the interviews up on the website has been a daunting task. But I will have Gramps up, and I hope that all of you grandparents will listen to it, because I think you will be inspired to come up with your own ideas on how to stay in contact with your grandchildren. And I've also been reading a book by Indra Nooyi, who was the CEO of Pepsi. And in that, she talks also about the importance of grandparents and how grandparents can make such an impact on a child's life. And you really have to think it through. What can I do? What can I do to make something special out of the relationship? Of course, it starts with books. I will tell you it starts with books, because reading to grandchildren, reading to your children at a young age is so important. I started reading because my mother's, now we were poor and we didn't have a lot of books, and we had comic books. But I remember my mother reading the comic books, and as she would read them, I learned to read that way. And so, and of course, she told lots and lots of stories. She was a great storyteller, as was my grandmother, who is, it's very funny, everybody in the family never heard her stories. I don't think anybody in the family ever heard my grandmother tell a story, because she was a very she was very funny, but she only spoke Finnish. That's what people thought. She never spoke English. I don't think she said more than 10 words in English ever to anybody except me. Now, she learned English perfectly because they went to the movies in those days. They used to go to the films, and she learned to speak English. She spoke English perfectly, and she had a little bit of a Greta Garbo sound to her voice. And I don't know at what point in her life she just said, I'm not going to talk to anybody in English. So I managed to have just hundreds and hundreds of stories from her, which I am trying now to just remember. See, this is a part of this whole idea of writing a book about your past, because it you can preserve all of this. And that's why I really was looking forward to talking to Mark Strauss about One-Legged Mongoose, because there he is. He's written a story from a 10-year-old's point of view. And I love that. I think that's really, really clever. And so I was really hoping that he would be on today. And I have a terrible feeling, and I'm going to say this to Big Ed and get him prepared, because I know that they asked me for 10:35, and I said, no, I have a wonderful book that I'm talking to this author about just in time for Super Bowl, because it's called Nachos for Dinner by Dan Whalen. And I knew I had that book, and so I said that Mark would have to call at 11:05. I always tell people when to call in. But I have a feeling that somebody got things messed up. So, Big Ed, if Mark calls, you tell him that that was the time he was supposed to call at 11:05, because I want to talk about this nacho book. Oh, it's so funny. When I got the book, I opened it up, and the first one I got to was one called a falafel nacho, which is what I make. And I've, you know, my husband, of course, is Israeli, and so it's just a wonderful, wonderful recipe, and I'm looking forward to talking to Dan. But meanwhile, I again want to remind you that if you want really to, start preserving your memories, just make notes. Sometimes people say, oh, I need a computer. Oh, I have to, invest money. You don't. Some of the best books ever written, as a matter of fact, most of the best books ever written were written, by hand. Really, it really does happen. And for example, Margaret George wrote Henry VIII, all 962 pages by hand. That's a big book to write by hand. Tolstoy did it too. So you don't have to, sometimes a senior will tell me, well, I don't type. I don't do that. Write it by hand. You can, nowadays, it's so easy to get somebody to put, you can actually read your story into the computer. And you have Microsoft Word. All you do is click on the dictation, and you can, after you write your story, because I think it's when you write the book, you really have to see it, you know, on paper. But then after that, you can just read it straight into Microsoft Word, and all you have to do then is make corrections and start learning how to, you know, make paragraphs and shift for a capital letter. But other than that, there's no reason that you're not preserving your family's memories. It's just a wonderful thing to do. Now, I'm going to take a little break. Let's do, you know, Big Ed, let's do the commercials now. And we'll come back and we'll see if he calls in. I might have 5 minutes to talk to him. Okay?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back. And I wanted to just remind you, if you're interested in writing, if you're interested in a senior moment, check out Rick Bava's Today's Senior Magazine. And I think we got a call in, and I'm afraid that it's the wrong one. But we will see. Who is it, Ed? Okay, well, I'm just waiting. Anyway, I wonder who Ed likes for Super Bowl. I didn't ask him. Everybody's excited about Super Bowl. You know, it's funny. I still don't quite get as excited about Super Bowl as I do about Premier League soccer. But because, you know, having lived in England a long time, and I became a big soccer fan, and my sister is also a big soccer fan, and we are for Tottenham, and my sister has a 25-foot scarf. Hey, Natalie, are you listening right now? You can wrap yourself, if you're cold, you can wrap yourself in your Tottenham scarf, because Natalie and I love Premier League soccer, And of course, Harry Caine is our hero. So we spend a lot of time watching soccer. Our Saturdays and Sundays are spent watching soccer. But I try to get into a little bit of football. But really, I used to love halftime the most. And are you on, Dan?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, well, Dan Whalen, you have written a book. Oh, I keep it next to me. Nachos for Dinner. Surprising sheet pan meals the whole family will love. And, of course, everybody who's celebrating on, you know, the big game day, and everybody's going to be wanting nachos. This is a great book.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I love, I'm really proud of it, and I'm always happy to be chatting about nachos.
Well, you must be always a welcome person at any party, because you probably come armed with nachos.
Yeah, I don't leave house without a chip.
That's it. That's it. So I want to say the photographs are lovely. It's been very difficult for me. I have kept this one next to me for, you know, ever since I got it. I get it, of course, quite early. And I've had it. I've had all this opportunity to try the different ones. And I must say, there's one in it that I had already created myself, because my husband was from Israel. And so the falafel nacho is one of my favorites. But tell us, how did you get involved with the nacho world?
Well, first of all, thanks, because I really do like that falafel nacho recipe. But I've been writing recipes on my website for about 15 years, and this is my fifth book. And nachos were actually one of the first things I ever learned how to make as a kid. You know, I would get home from school and throw some chips on a plate in the microwave, and it seems kind of funny to think of that, but like, that was actually what got me interested in cooking in the first place. Just thinking of the different ratios of how to make my microwave nachos the best when I was in elementary school. And so fast forward many years, but my love of nachos has only grown. And because I make mashup recipes on my website, where I take two things and make one new thing out of them, nachos were the perfect blank canvas for me to try out tons of different toppings.
Well, they are. One of the things I love nachos. I've always loved them. And it's so funny. When you are having a party and you're trying to think of what to make, you always know that if you make nachos, people are happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the best little snacks. And that's why I wanted it to be a full dinner, because a lot of times you eat too many nachos and now you're not hungry for dinner. So why not just have them for dinner?
That's an excellent idea. So tell us about the different type of, you know, chip and how we should understand them.
Well, there's a lot of different varieties now at the grocery store, which is nice. And I spend so much time in that aisle looking at all the chips. But if you're looking for the best chips, in my opinion, try to find a chip that has been a tortilla once, if that makes sense. So a lot of the factory, like industrial brands of chips, they start as dough and they go straight to chip. But the traditional way to make a chip is if you cut a tortilla and fry it. And there's a lot of new brands coming out now that actually do that extra step. If you find a nice sturdy chip like that, it's great to make nachos with. And if you look in the window of the chip bag, and you see most of them as like small triangles that actually are not broken up, then you know you have a chip that is probably sturdy enough to put toppings on.
So once you have this nice chapter called "Once You Have the Three Pillars of Nachos, the World Is Your Nacho Plate." So tell us about you know, just explain how we sort of get into this whole nacho world.
Well, I make all my nachos on a sheet pan. And what I love about that is that it helps all the chips, like, get the love they deserve. You don't end up having the first two on the top of the pile and the rest are just chips with no topping. So you make sure to lay out your nachos. evenly. And then the first thing is I like to put a little cheese first, and that will protect the chips from getting too soggy from the more wet toppings that you put on next. So then it's the toppings, and then it's the more cheese. I always broil the nachos, so they get a little crispy on top. They get the browned edges, and the cheese melts nicely. And then after they come out, you need something bright and refreshing for a salsa or pickled item to put on top.
Well, I think they are just... you know, with nachos, it's like a work of art. You can make them so... It's just, you put color and color, and you have green, you have yellow, you have red. It's really beautiful.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, as a food blogger, I'm always very concerned about the color palette that I'm working with all the ingredients, right? And I want the photo to look nice. So I think if you're looking at different colors to put on your plate, you also have a lot of great flavors that you're putting in there as well.
Now, tell us. Tell us some of your favorites. What are some of your very favorite ones?
I really love the street corn nachos, which is inspired by Mexican elote, the sort of grilled corn dish. I put some jack cheese and cotija cheese on the chips. Lots of charred corn, and after it comes out of the oven, there's like a mayo sauce and some paprika and cilantro. And it tastes like the street corn. And what I really love especially is you're getting the chip and the corn, so it's like corn on corn. And I put so much corn on so that you really drives home the corn flavor. I really like that one a lot.
Well, I like the chimichurri one. I think that's great.
Oh, yeah, especially with, like, some grilled steak on there. It's that refreshing, like, chimichurri flavor. It's so nice. I love it.
And, of course, during the big game, I'm sure everybody's going to be having nachos. Once you get into it and start making them, it's just fun. And I love the idea of doing it as you do on a sheet. So nice. Nowadays you have these disposable sheets, so if you have a big crowd of people, it's really easy to make them, and the cleanup is easy. And I think it's just so much fun. And one of the things, nice things also, I know that when my kids were young, they loved to help me, make them and just spread things out. And I think that's fun to involve the family.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I wanted to give the idea of like really a family meal here, especially with the sheet pan, because you can put different things on different corners of the pan. It's really great.
Exactly. If you want to be really nice and not destroy the world, just a parchment paper on a sheet pan. It's easy to clean up. It makes it really nice, and you're not hurting the environment, using too much aluminum. So I think it's really great, a great thing to do.
Yeah, parchment is a great way for easy cleanup, for sure. I always have a lot of parchment on hand.
Yeah, and of course, they don't have to all be spicy. I like the sweet ones.
Yeah, I had a lot more dessert nachos when I first did the first draft of this, but I realized a lot of them were just me pouring chocolate sauce onto cookies and different variations.
Well, so yeah,
I did pare it down.
Yeah, that's true. But it is nice, and you can do all sorts of a nod to different nationalities. So everybody, no matter what their background is, they'll say, "Oh yeah, I am a pierogi nacho." No, nobody expects that.
Yeah, and that one uses the pierogies as the chips, which I thought was fun too. But that's the way I cook all the time. I cook from all different, inspired by all different cultures of the world, and I think it's interesting just digging into different areas to learn more about them through the food is nice.
Well, so tell us about your work, about what what else you're doing here. The, you know, where can people see you, and about your other books.
So I have a book about tater tots, a book about s'mores. I have a book called The Comfort Food Mashup Cookbook. And you can learn about all this on my website, thefoodinmybeard.com. And you can follow me on social media at TFIMB on most social media platforms. And that's the initials, The Food in My Beard.
Well, I thought that was very clever. And I think it's a delightful book, wonderful photographs. And I think you are very lucky, because you must get people just, they want to take part in this book, that get to taste what you've created here.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun talking with different people about the book and the reception, and it's been a lot of fun. This is my favorite book. I think it's the most, let's say, the most like workhorse of a book. A lot of people will be using this. The pages will be crinkled and stained with food, and I love that. I can't wait to see all the new nacho ideas that people come up with.
Well, I'm sure they will, but I think you've hit it out of the ballpark with this one, or I guess the football field in this case. I'm sure it's going to be very popular, and really, if you know, one of the delightful things about a book like this, and I will tell people, I normally do not write in a book. I mean, I never write in a book, you know, since I was a kid. But there are some books that you want to preserve the memories. So I would, and I will, with this book, I will write down, like, if I'm going to be making a particular one for this Super Bowl, I will write down, you know, that this is, you know, in 2022, this is the recipe I used, and I will put who's the winner of the game is, you know, just so that when you go back, and then every year you'll go back to that, and you'll have this record of what you made that year. So I think it's a perfect. Actually, it's a perfect Super Bowl gift to give to people, because tell them, start this year. And, you know, the years go by. And if you have, like, a kid in the family, have the kid sign their name right next to that recipe that you made. And 10 years from now, you'll go back and, you know, there'll be a teenager now, and they'll say, yeah, I remember. I remember when we made that. So I love, actually, books like this, where you do allow people to write, or people, like, if you make, and this is why it would make a great gift book. If you get this book and you have it, and you make cantaloupe cucumber salsa, have whoever helped you make it, have them sign it. You know, have them put their name down. And you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful way to keep memories. And so in books like this, that's why I like to give, all, you know, picture books like this that are relevant to something, like sometimes a book with Thanksgiving, recipes, sign it, have people sign it, because you keep the books. That way you'll keep the books, and then 10 years, 20 years, you'll look back and you'll see the kids will sign it. It's sort of like a yearbook. You know, go back and you have the yearbook. Well, start this as your Super Bowl yearbook, because this would be a keeper then. What do you think?
Well, that's really nice to hear. No, it's really great. I love that idea.
Well, I think you should actually, you know, I'm going to tell you, I think you should put it on your Facebook page and on your, you know, all your podcast, all your Instagram and all that stuff, and tell them, because sometimes people don't think about things like this. Turn this book into your Super Bowl yearbook. Everybody should get this book and turn it, and have everybody who's at your party for, you know, sign it, and as the years go by, you really it becomes something that you hold dear to your heart. So, are you still there? Or did they cut me off? They cut us off, didn't they? Are you there, Dan? Well, here I was giving him great advice. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something special for him. I'm going to put it up on my Facebook page. This is going to be, this is just one of these fun days. They cut me off. I don't know who cut me off. I told them never to do that to me anymore. But anyway, it is a fun book. Yeah, you know, as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, for Super Bowl this year, I'm going to make what I think I'm going to make. Stroganachos. Oh, my goodness. Lasagna nachos. Oh, my goodness. There's so many, but I will stick with my falafel nachos. And I will put in, and I will sign it. And so this year, I will have falafel nachos on Super Bowl. As I said, I really don't. It's really hard for me. I don't know. And Big Ed, help me out here. Tell me about these two teams who are playing. I don't know them. All I know is
the Los Angeles Rams against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay. You see, I still only follow the Detroit Lions, which, of course, it's hopeless, right? They're never going to get in the Super Bowl, are they?
Well, their Super Bowl is always Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. Okay. So who are you for this year?
I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals this year.
Yeah, why? You like them?
Because the Rams beat our Buccaneers a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that wasn't. What did you think of that game? That was pretty exciting. Even I got excited about that game.
Yeah, it was very exciting towards the end, but just short.
Yeah, it was. It was a shame because then we so wanted him to stay for another year. But, you know, that's the way it is. So so do you put money on a game? Are you going to do
it? No, I've never done that before. To me, it ruins the game.
Yeah? Yeah, I wouldn't do it either. But anyway, I hope. Yeah, I think I like Bengals anyway. I like the Tigers. So I guess I sort of go like that. That's how I make decisions on if I like the name. And I guess Cincinnati, have they won recently? No, this is a big deal for them.
No, they've been to the Super Bowl twice in their history, but never won.
Okay. See, Big Ed knows all of this stuff. So that's always wonderful. You know, as I said, I follow soccer. It's really hard for me to get into football. But anyway, we'll be rooting for the Bengals. I think it's a nice name, isn't it? Nice, just a nice Bengal tiger. I think that's great. Well, I don't know. You know, this is going to be a fun day. I'm freezing a little bit, and I need a nacho, and I need coffee. Oh gosh, I need a coffee. What I'm going to do, you know, I want to talk again, and it's the beginning of the year. Can you believe it? It's the beginning of 2022. And there are so many wonderful books out there that you should be reading. Ever since I talked really, about this whole idea of grandparents, and I was so happy that I got, you know, to talk about grandparents and the importance of books. If you, I can't, it's so heartbreaking how many kids are just either glued to their devices, they don't do anything else, nowadays kids rarely take music lessons. The kids who have been out of school where they had some chance to take music lessons haven't been taking music lessons, or they've been covering, I mean, this is so ridiculous, they cover the horns up with masks. You know, I played the flute. I cannot imagine playing the flute. How could you play the flute with a mask on? It doesn't make any sense. You have to cover. It's mind-boggling. I have a feeling so many kids gave up musical instruments during this time. One, because they didn't have any place to go, and they didn't have any help. And then they're wearing these terrible, terrible masks. But grandparents, if you have, you know, if you have any talent in your life, if you play the piano, if you've played musical instruments, continue playing them, because it is really great for kids to see that you do something. So many times I talked to a number of people, one woman particularly who picked up the cello, and she's old. She's downright old. But she picked up the cello and she started playing. And it's changed her life. It has absolutely changed her life, because she's, well, one, her grandkids are enthralled. She can play, you know, a simple Twinkle Twinkle Little Star on the cello for them, and they'll sit on the floor and they'll laugh and giggle and have fun, and she'll tell them stories in between playing. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to play perfectly. But if you play a musical instrument, try to bring that into your grandchild's life, or for parents, your child's life. Many of you played instruments and then you gave them up. And one of the things that you have to always remember, you don't have to play perfectly. Kenny Werner was on the other day, and he is a brilliant pianist. He teaches piano, and his book was wonderful. It's just wonderful. But what he says in that book is, again, something for all of us. You don't have to play perfectly to have fun. You don't have to play perfectly to share it. Because people really don't care if you miss a note or here or there. Where it's the enthusiasm that goes with the playing. So for many of you, I think during this pandemic-y time, I think a number of the people I know who have been really able to sort of go through it smoothly without too many, you know, points of depression, without being overwhelmed, are people who actually have something to do, like writing, that's kept many people going, and playing a musical instrument. And again, trying to find these ways to stay in contact with your, you know, with your families. You know, and you can, nowadays with Zoom, you can play, you know, a lullaby for your grandkids who are across the country. You know, if you have an instrument. So get back to doing something. Get away from the electronic gizmos and get back to basics. Books and music, that's really, they enrich your life. And of course, writing. And it's so funny. I think of today as a Carol J. Perry day, because she, of course, is the author of Witch City Mysteries, and she was my very first guest in the studio, so I'm thinking a lot about her. And she has a new book coming out in her series, Book 12 of Witch City Mysteries, and it's called Till Death. And it is finally, as my sister, Natalie, hey Natalie, I'm going to be home soon. Natalie loves her books, and we finally have a wedding, because we've been waiting for Lee Barrett to find love and get married since book one, because she had a little bit of a rough marriage there in the beginning, but now she's found happiness, and she's going to get married on April 26th, and you can pre-order Till Death, and it is going to be a marriage till death. It's a wonderful, wonderful, sweet, and delightful book. And you can get that and pre-order it. And my sister is coming out with a whole list of names for Carol Perry's twins, which we're hoping for in book 13. So we're really moving this story along, because we want some babies coming. But it's always wonderful. And there are so many wonderful books in the series. There are 11 of them out, so you can just go to Carol J. Perry on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or go to her website and check out and find a book. You can pick them up in any order you want, but there are now 11 of them out and book 12 coming. So, and it's a sort of a witchery day out there. And I know she just finished a deadline on February 1st, which was also my sister's birthday. And so I am so happy that whenever Carol is... Now, she's an example of a dedicated writer, disciplined. You know, she, in 7 years, she's written, well, 13 books. You know, this is takes discipline. It's a person who says, I'm going to write, and they get up in the morning, and they set themselves a goal, and they say, I'm going to do so many pages, so many words a day, which reminds me of Scrivener. For those of you who are looking for a way to start writing, and particularly if you're writing something very big and very complicated, fantasy, sci-fi, anything like that, I would suggest, I didn't think about it. Do we have time, Ed, for a sci-fi from Bria Burton? If you can pull it up real fast, we'll play that. I think we have time, huh? Oh, I don't know. We'll try. Bria Burton's doing sci-fi book buzzes for us now, and I just love her voice. You know, she's such a sweetheart, but she has a little bit of a creepy voice. And we have time? Yeah, we'll play it.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2020 release in audiobook, Sunborn, by author and Nebula finalist Jeffrey A. Carver. Sunborn is book 4 in Carver's The Chaos Chronicles, and Skyboat Media produced this audiobook with stellar narration by Grammy and Hugo winner Stefan Rudnicki. Sunborn is also available in print and ebook. Now, let's download the book buzz. This highly imaginative space opera, Sunborn picks up where the previous installment left off, with John Bandicoot and his alien companions traveling in a star spanner bubble towards a way station for what they'd hoped was much-needed R&R. But instead, they're alerted to impending interstellar destruction from hyperspatial gravity waves of unknown origin. Stars in the Orion Nebula are dying, and an AI at the way station tasks this collection of capable compatriots with averting cosmic disaster. Aboard a space and time manipulating ship called the Longview, Bandicoot and his crew encounter otherworldly beings and multidimensional travelers. Yes, your mind will be stretched. For hard science fiction fans, this book may be a bit far out, even according to the author. But dabbling in fantasy, in my view, enhances the reading experience of this exciting story. Intriguing character dynamics, nonstop action, and point of view shifts that include bringing readers inside the mind of a sentient and singing star are just some of the elements this fantastical tale has to offer. Author Jeffrey A. Carver has been publishing science fiction since the 1970s, including the novelization of the Battlestar Galactica miniseries on Sci-Fi Channel. This is Bria Burton with your futuristic fiction fix, signing off.
Her voice, isn't it? She has just the right voice for it. Anyway, everybody, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're lucky, very lucky, maybe they'll be turned into a streaming video or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. Well, have you been watching the Jack Reacher? He certainly looks like Jack Reacher. Anyway, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed today and every day because he managed to get me through this and find all the things I needed. And I'm sorry about this guest. I'll try to find out what happened to him. Anyway, bye-bye now, everybody. Have a wonderful day. And stay warm wherever you are, even here in Florida, where we're freezing. Bye-bye.